Prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that he is our Saviour, he is our Lord, he is our Master, he is the head of the body of Christ, he is the head of the church. We thank you, Lord, for that. And Father, I ask that this morning, as we look at this important area of characteristics of born-again Christians, that it be very much seared in our hearts about this whole area, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, this morning we're looking at characteristics of born-again Christians, part 5. And you will know that I've gone through many scriptures on the first four areas. And I just want to touch on those first four areas just to give you a brief understanding of what they are. You can go back, listen to the others, and you'll get more detail about that. But let's look first of all at John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Because Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, he made it very clear that people had to be born again. We'll look at John 3 verse 3 first of all. John 3 verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So the born again experience is absolutely vital. And he uses the word cannot. And that word cannot is really important for us to understand, because if a person is not born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Cannot see the kingdom of God. There's no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. So he's pointing to himself and he's saying there is a way to get into the kingdom of God, and you must be born again, which means you've gone through your first birth, which is your physical birth, but now you have to have another birth. You're born again. The Bible also calls it being born of God. And we see also, if you go down a bit further, down to verse 6, it says, That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Ghost, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, little s. So what we can see here is that the born-again experience is a spiritual birth. We know that man is made up of spirit, soul, and body. So clearly you can see that it's a spiritual birth. Your spirit is made new. You become a new creature in Christ, made new, totally new, and it's of a sinless nature. Okay. But we also know that our minds, which are part of our soul, needs to be renewed. That's part of the sanctification process. And also our flesh, our bodies, need to be retrained in the ways of the Lord. That's also part of the sanctification process. We talked a little bit about that, and we don't need to go into more detail about that. Look in verse 7 of John chapter 3. It says, Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Must be born again. So every person must go through the second birth. Must, if they are to come into the kingdom of God or into heaven, and entry into heaven. Of course, salvation provided by the Lord Jesus Christ is a free gift to all who will believe and receive it. It's a free gift. Jesus shed his blood, and that blood is able to wash people clean of their sins, cleanse them, so that then they are made alive and new to God. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, tells us that if you are born again, you are now different. You cannot be a person who is not born again and who claims to be born again, and yet they act as though, and every characteristic they have is as though they're not born again. There are characteristics of people who are born again because they are made new. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So there's a new way. You are now a new creature. You've been made new on the inside. You've been born again. Your spirit has been born of the Holy Ghost, of the Spirit of God. So it's very clear that now you are new. And so you have new characteristics. We've gone through the first characteristic of you will not be a habitual sinner. Sin will not have the same hold over you that it used to have. And we looked at that in 1 John 3 verse 9. We won't look at that now. We've already covered that. We also looked at the characteristic that if you're born of God, you will believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the way, the truth and the life. He is the one that was sent by God to satisfy the salvation that was needed for mankind. So you won't be believing on other saviours or other people. You'll have the within you, you will acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as your master, as your Lord, as your saviour. The third characteristic we looked at was that if you're born of God, you will be not only made righteous, but you will do righteousness. You will be a person who will do works of righteousness. The fourth characteristic we looked at was you will be a person who loves the brethren. Today, the fifth characteristic that we're looking at is that you will be a person who will overcome the world by faith. Let's look at that in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5. And as born-again Christians, the question we ask is, how do we live? How do we live now? Do we live lives that are defeated? Or do we live, as we saw before, lives that are new? There is a new and living way. There is a way which will take us into blessing. 1 John chapter 5, starting from verse 4, says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So verse 4 says, whatsoever is born of God. Are you born of God? Are you born again? Well, then you'll have this characteristic as well. You'll be a world overcomer. And we want to understand what this means. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So clearly, the Bible's very clear here that you have to be able to overcome the world if you're a Christian. Some people are quite developed in this because they have grown in their faith. Others, it's just like a small seed in them, and because of who they've exposed themselves to in terms of teaching and so on, they're very, very undeveloped. They might be Christians, but they're quite undeveloped in this whole faith area. Now, the world is made up of all those who are not born again, and those who are not born again have a spiritual master. And that spiritual master, the Bible calls him the God, little g, the God of this world. And we know him as Satan or the devil. And the Bible says he works in the children of disobedience. So clearly, the world is a very dangerous place spiritually, which is one reason why there are many warnings in Scripture for Christians that we are not to compromise with the world. We'll look at it. We'll look at one of those a bit later. We are not to be people that take the world's ideas or live according to the world and go along as though that's okay. We know, for example, that the world upholds very bad and satanic ideas. One very clear one is that all that we see has come about by chance random processes, the doctrine of evolution, and people use that to justify that we all came out of chance and we were not created. And in fact, they justify that and say there is no God. They use that as a justification. So that's a worldly idea. Now, if you're a world overcomer, then you will be a person who will overcome that type of idea. And how do you do it? By relying on the Word of God. And you know that God is the Creator, and you will take that as the truth, and you will build that truth within you. Okay? How do we know that people have been overcome by the world? Well, they start to believe what the world says, for example, that we were evolved, and they start to put that into their thinking. Can you see the idea there? So if we are people that are world overcomers, overcome the world, then we take the Bible as truth and we go forward with that truth, and that's what we base what we believe on and what we think on and what we say and what we do. Now, obviously, if you compromise with the world, and then you can go along a very slippery path, and some people even fall right out of God, right out of Christ by doing that. But we're not to be people like that. We're to be people, if we've been, as it says there, we've been born of God, we'll be people that overcome the world, and we have victory. Okay, so overcoming the world means overcoming the ideas, the false doctrines and so on, by adhering to the truth. And we'll have that within us, that desire to walk according to the truth and to think according to the truth. But we have to be people that renew our minds according to that. But within us there'll be that world overcoming, that desire, that knowledge, that understanding that we must be people that can't compromise with the world. Also in the world is the curse. And the curse has all types of things related to it. I'll just touch on a few things. There are snares in the world. Okay, snares put out by the devils and by sin and so on. We will, because we operate by faith, we walk by faith, we stand by faith, we use spiritual weapons and so on, we will be able to overcome that the world pushes against us or tries to trap us and so on. There's sickness in the world. The Lord has provided His solution to that, because He is the healer. And the Lord Jesus Christ has provided healing to us in His death. By the stripes of Jesus we were healed. And you can listen to a lot of sermons related to that. And also there's this whole area of poverty and being downtrodden and so on and oppressed. Well, the Lord Jesus has given us victory over all of this. And that's what salvation is all about. But you know, you can't appropriate any of that unless you walk by faith. And that's the way you overcome the world and whatever the world throws at you, by overcoming through faith. And verse 5 tells us that we can't do it by ourselves. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So you believe that Jesus is the answer. He is the answer. He is the one who has provided everything you need to overcome the world. You can rely upon him for his righteousness. You rely upon him for his name. You rely upon him for his strength. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And so on. So if you're born again, if you're born of God, you will be a world overcomer. And as I said, some are more developed than others, because some have hearing ears. They have what the Bible calls obedient ears. They hear the word and they put it into action in their lives. They put it into action in their lives. Praise the Lord for that. Have a look at Galatians chapter 3. Look at a few verses related to this, because clearly our faith is the victory that overcometh the world. So we must be people of faith. We must be people of faith. We won't turn to it, but we know that Hebrews 11 tells us that faith pleases God. Okay, you want to be a person that pleases God, faith pleases God. And because we're new creatures in Christ, we are people of faith. And we're going to read several verses in Galatians 3, which shows us that our whole nature is that of faith. Galatians 3, we'll start from verse 1. We'll continue on to verse 11, but I'll stop and start as we go along. Galatians 3, starting from verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? So God wants us to obey the truth. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Well, clearly, you receive the Spirit by the hearing of faith. Okay, you hear the truth, you believe the truth, and you receive the Spirit of God. Verse 3, are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Well, the Bible says if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Okay, so even ministering the Spirit is by the working of faith, isn't it? So we see the theme here that faith is very, very important in the Christian's life. Okay, we walk by faith and so we're obedient by faith. We received the Spirit by the hearing of faith. Miracles are worked by the hearing of faith. So, in fact, you won't be able to get any miracles in your life except by the hearing of faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So we're of the same nature that Abraham was. He was a person of faith. And we see that he believed God. Obviously, faith and belief must go hand in hand, mustn't they? He believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Do you think you can believe God for things, and he will give you things? For sure. If you're a person of faith, and you have to be if you're born again, because we saw that in 1 John chapter 5, if you're a person of faith, then you'll be a child of Abraham and you'll be believing just like Abraham believed God. He believed God, and we believe God too. Verse 8, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in these shall all nations be blessed. That's what verse 9 says. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And this is all part of overcoming the world. If you're of faith, then you are blessed. So what should you be calling yourself? Blessed. Blessed. But what do we know that the world is? Cursed. The Bible says the whole world lieth in wickedness. And what's attached to wickedness and sin? The curse. The curse. So we are of faith if we've been born again. And so we are blessed with faithful Abraham. And if you looked at Abraham's blessing, you'll see there's a lot of spiritual blessing. There's a lot of physical blessing in his life. And so blessing covers the whole area of our life, spirit, soul, and body. And let me read verse 9 again. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. We should say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed with faithful Abraham. Verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. So there's that curse. You're no longer cursed. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. So the just, you've been justified, made right with God, the just shall live by faith. So what's your nature? You're just and you live by faith. So how are we to live? By faith. So if you're born again, you will be a person who will live by faith, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So you won't be a person who will be oriented towards sight, because we walk by faith, not by sight, but you'll be oriented towards, what does God's word say about the matter? What does God say about it? And that's the way we will walk. We won't call ourselves cursed anymore. We were cursed. We were dead in trespasses and sins. That's a cursed position, isn't it? But now we are alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we live through him. We live through him. We are no longer dead in trespasses and sins. Can you see that? The Bible tells us very clearly that the just shall live by faith. If you go back just to the previous chapter, to Galatians 2 verse 20. Galatians 2 verse 20. Notice what it says here in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, there's that word again, faith, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we can say with Paul here, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So if you've got Christ living in you, there is victory in you. There is victory in you. Victory. And you see here, the life which you now live in the flesh, you live by the faith of the Son of God. You don't have to rely upon your own strength anymore. You can rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the faith of the Son of God. You're living in the flesh. You're living in the flesh because we still have a flesh and bone body, blood, bone, body. We still have flesh and we're still on the earth as physical human beings, but we've been changed on the inside now. And now our life of faith is connected to the one who is the author of our life, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible calls him the vine and we are the branches. So we know that life flows through the vine into the branches. We are connected with him. We are connected with him. And he lives in us and we live in him. And he, notice verse 20 at the last part, it says, who loved me. It's personal, isn't it? And gave himself for me. So he has individually loved us and loves us even now and has given himself for us. He died for us all individually. So take that on into your heart and understand it. Meditate on it. Think about it. Confess it. Say it. I live in the flesh by the faith of the Son of God. Okay? And that means that you can have victory. You can have victory in the Lord. That victory is available to you. If you look at Galatians 5 verse 1, just go across a little bit first, further over to Galatians 5 1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You see, if you think about the world and the world system, it is bondage to be under the curse. It is bondage to be thinking and believing all the wrong things. You see? It's bondage to be thinking, oh, I came from nothing. I came from a rock. You know? Everything around us is purposeless. It's bondage to be thinking that way. It's bondage to be thinking the ways of death, which is really what the world is inclined towards. But it is liberty. It is liberty to serve the Lord. It is liberty to have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is liberty to walk by faith. Okay? Very much a part of who we are, what we are now, because we are born of God. We are born again. Praise the Lord. Look across to Romans 12. And I said we'd look a little bit about this this whole thing of the world and the conformity to the world. You see, we are world overcomers now if we're born of God. This is a major characteristic of born-again Christians. You're a world overcomer. And Romans 12, look at verses 1 and 2. We've quoted this many times here, but we'll look at it again. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Why do you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind? Did your mind get born again, or was it your spirit that got born again? It was your spirit, wasn't it? Your mind didn't get born again, but now your mind has to conform to spiritual things. Your mind has to conform to spiritual things. And your mind is part of your soul. That's why you can say to your mind, your soul, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Because now you have to have your mind transformed by the renewing, by its renewing. You can't be conforming to this world. Many people do. But Christians are warned not to do it. Because if you do conform to this world, then you won't be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in your life. But we want to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in our life. And we do that by starting to think along the lines of God's ways and God's thoughts, which is in his word. Okay? In his word. And so we see that the world has a constant pressure, trying to get you to conform to it, to get you to believe its ways. And we see a major problem in the sodomite area in our society now. You know, you've got to believe according to that rather than, oh, the Bible's just antiquated, you know, things like that. In fact, exactly the opposite is the case. You know, people are thinking along the lines of the curse and of death rather than along the lines of life and truth. So we must be people that do not conform to this world. Now, the world is not completely wrong. You know, there's some things that are right in it. But as long as the Word of God is the standard, okay? So the Word of God must be the standard by which you judge anything that you're hearing or seeing or receiving. And we must be people that, because we've been born of God, we overcome the world. Overcome the world's ideas so that we are people that think along the right way and overcome the curse that's in the world. If you look also at Romans 10, look at verse 8. Romans 10, going back a couple of chapters, look at verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. So born-again Christians put into their heart and their mouth the word of faith. That's the nature of the word of God, isn't it? It's the word that produces faith. And that's what we put into our heart and into our mouth. That's how you get your mind renewed. That's how you get your faith strengthened. Because if you go across to verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if we were to go back and look at this characteristic, that we know that what overcomes the world is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Very important to see this. And see, we can see that faith cometh by hearing by the word of God. We are people now that are inclined towards the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Look at a couple more scriptures, because in our walk, in our Christian walk, we must be people that when we look into the Word of God, we see this is the way that we are to walk. This is what we're to hold on to and thank God for. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 and 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 57 and 58. We see that the Lord has provided for us, even though this world has all types of problems, and as I said before, the curse and wrong thinking and so on, the Lord has provided for us the basis upon which we live our Christian lives. And this characteristic of being a world overcomer is very much hinging on what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 and 58 says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord." So as we go forward in our Christian walk, we are walking on the basis of the victory that's been provided through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are walking on the basis of what the Lord Jesus Christ has provided. And that's why he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding." On the basis of that victory, we now live our life and we increase in faith. We increase in the good things that the Lord has for us. Praise the Lord. Our labour is not in vain in the Lord. It's not in vain that I preach here now, today. It's not in vain that you live and witness and do things for the Lord in your lives. It's not in vain. Don't think it is. And lastly, we'll just finish with this one in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place." So you put these words into your mouth. Say, God always causes me to triumph in Christ. God always, let's say that together. God always causes us to triumph in Christ. Praise the Lord. And this is something we should be saying, we should be, as we read before, putting the word of faith into our hearts and into our mouths as well. God always causes us to triumph in Christ. Might not look as though you're triumphing, but he always causes me to triumph in Christ. Praise the Lord. Well, the next part, part six, we'll be going in through the last key characteristic of new creatures in Christ, of born-again Christians, and that will be that born-again Christians, new creatures in Christ, will keep themselves pure. And we'll talk about that in the next one. Be holy, even as I am holy. That's what the Word of God tells us. And so we'll look at that. And that part six will finish this sermon series. Let's close in prayer today. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus. We thank you that we are born again by what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. We're born of your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for that. It is a wonderful thing that has been done in our lives. And Father, we ask that as we look through this and as we go into the Scriptures more, that we see and understand what we need to do and our role is in the church and in the body of Christ, what our role is whilst we're on this earth. And Father, I praise you, Lord, and I thank you for the victory that you've given us. Thank you that you always cause us to triumph in Christ. And we praise you and bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.